morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us for this, the first program of 2020. Hard to believe that we are in the new year. Today on the program, we're going to do a little looking forward and a little looking back with Dr. Chris Bergwald and Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Going to talk a little bit about things of the church in the last year and in the year ahead. Hope you stick around for that. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading, Monsignor Charles Mangan with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit. Namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
Religious education students from St. Peter Parish in Coleman delivered fruit baskets to families in the area before Christmas. Students in grades 7 through 12 handed out 25 baskets to families in Coleman. St. Elizabeth Court, number 1362 of the Catholic Daughters of the Americas, donated the fruit baskets. This court has been making these fruit baskets and teaming up with the religious ed students to deliver them for over 25 years. The students spread Christmas joy by caroling as they delivered their goodies. Two Texas Catholic bishops offered words of condolence and prayers to the members of families of the victims of a church shooting in which two worshipers were killed. Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller of San Antonio and Bishop Edward J. Burns of Dallas said they prayed that sin and evil would not overtake society. A gunman killed two people December 29th during Sunday services at West Freeway Church in Christ in White Settlement, Texas, before members of the congregation fatally shot him, authorities said. Police were called to the church about 8 miles west of Fort Worth before 11 a.m. after two members of the church's volunteer security team opened fire on the gunman, the Dallas Morning News reported. That this act of violence occurred in a house of worship unfortunately no longer shocks our senses. At this time of bitter division and polarization, we must unite in common purpose and commitment to save our society. We can do no less, Archbishop Garcia Siller said in a statement. The chairman of the U.S. Bishops Catholic Education Committee, Bishop Michael C. Barber of Oakland, California, applauded the recent decision by Congress to reauthorize scholarship legislation that includes a federal education voucher for nearly 2,000 students in Washington. The Scholarships for Opportunity and Results Act, which includes the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program, was reauthorized for 4 years December 19th. The bishop said the Washington Voucher Program, which is the only program of its kind authorized by the U.S. Congress, reinforces the idea long promoted by the Catholic Church that parents have the right and responsibility to serve as the primary educators of their children. Several Catholic schools participate in the scholarship program, which provides tuition scholarships to low-income children in Washington at participating private schools. Bishop R. Daniel Conlin of Joliet announced he is taking a medical leave of absence starting December 27th. Retired Bishop Richard E. Pates of Des Moines, Iowa, will be apostolic administrator of the diocese while Bishop Conlin is away. A statement from the diocese did not disclose the exact reason for the medical leave. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
All right, Renee, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by the dueling Chris's, Dr. Chris Motes, Chris Bergwald, and Chris Motes Esquire, South Dakota Catholic Conference Executive Director. I love it when the two of you guys come on the show. We don't do it often enough. And we thought we'd do a little look back and a little look forward as we like to do this time of year. Mm-hmm. I think that's just kind of a natural thing for human beings to do.
Yep.
So we're going to do it on this program as well. So by starting off, I'm going to start with Dr. Chris. And I'm going to say, when you think back to 2019, what are some of the key things that pop into your head in terms of the church and faith and culture and that milieu?
So I think one of the biggest things internationally, Jerry, that probably got, well, it's interesting because so much in the church gets, and I think this is true probably in all sorts of spheres, politics for sure, social media, where there's something like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing. And then a lot of people are like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So the Amazon Synod, which in some Catholic spheres got huge attention. Certainly Catholic media covered it, journalism and so on. And yet your average Catholic in the pew probably didn't know anything about it. And yet I think there's all sorts of drama around.
A lot of side stories.
There we go. Thank you. Side stories. And yet the reality, I think, of just addressing the pastoral needs of the people. I mean, there have been Synod of the Americas and Europe and so on. So I think internationally, though, in terms of the global church, that comes first to my mind when you ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean for us as Americans? Here's what it means to me, especially for us thinking, just looking a little bit ahead to our new bishop who's going to come for us locally.
We'll talk about that.
Bishops have, and I don't think most Catholics realize this, bishops are first and foremost charged with the welfare of their local church, which doesn't mean the cathedral parish, it means the whole diocese.
Of course.
But bishops also are charged with responsibility for the global church. And I think, for us, you know, our apostolic administrator right now, Bishop Swain, the eighth bishop, and now bishop-elect De Groot, they have a responsibility first for us, but they also have a responsibility for the global church. And I think when you see things like synods in general, it should be a good reminder that the man who's in the office down the hall from us right now has a responsibility, yes, first and foremost for us, but also, in a sense, a global responsibility.
Well, that sense of the universal church is easily lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great point that you make, that what happens elsewhere in the universal church often has bearing for us,
right,
in ways we might not even understand,
yep,
today,
right,
but we might someday. And secondly, that whenever the church makes a change or a proclamation or whatever, the immediate response is, well, how does that relate to us?
Right.
It might not be about us at all.
Correct.
It might be about some other place in the world.
Right, right. And I do think that's, I think it's human nature, right? To think it's all about us, all about me.
Yeah. Especially these days.
Especially these days. But it, you're right. I mean, we have to be aware. This is literally a universal church, a global church. And sometimes things are addressed or said or taught, not with South Dakotans or Americans in mind, but with somebody in, I don't know, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So back to your question then, for me, when I think about globally, particularly, and we'll talk about our own bishops here as well, but globally, the synod and kind of the larger, what that means for us comes to mind.
All right. Well, that's helpful. All right, Chris, what do you think? Anything come to mind?
2019.
Yeah, in 2019.
Well, for us as Americans, as faithful citizens, it's a year that stands out, in which for the third time ever, an American president was impeached.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's a lot we could say about it. The American Bishops Conference has, just kind of commenting on like partisan divide more broadly, even beyond the context of impeachment. The U.S. Bishops Conference, just in anticipation of an election year coming up next year, they every so often they dust off their faithful citizenship document. So
right,
we'll be seeing that in the year ahead. But one of the things that they've launched this year is a kind of a PR campaign that they've called "Civilize It."
Yeah,
which it's a PR campaign. It's not policy in a certain sense. But at the same time, like, it's good for us to kind of just take a step back and reflect upon the gifts that we have as Catholics, as people of faith, have to bring to bear in this divided age. You know, everybody's got an opinion on the president, on impeachment. On Congress, on your local school board.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing that. Civilize it, just to remember first and foremost, yeah, we're all Americans and we're in this project together.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just want to ditto whatever. I think not just in the politics, but frankly also, unfortunately, in the church, there is a hyper partisanship.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, quote unquote left versus right, which doesn't apply cleanly in the church at all. But still, there's a reality of maybe different emphases or different points. So you get different perspectives that are now like literally attacking, mm-hmm, each other within the church. You kind of expect that in politics, but in both places, I'm dating myself with the Rodney King reference, but can't we all just get along? I mean, I'm not sacrificing truth. I mean, me, of all people, I'm not saying we need to sacrifice what's actually true, good, and beautiful, but in the sense of in the political world, how to accomplish common ends when there are common ends. In the church world, for goodness sake, how to accomplish the evangelization, sanctification of the world. I think we need to try to see the good in one another more than we are. So I'm grateful for the USCCB.
Well, I just want to jump in and say, what about the gospel? What's the gospel tell us? Love your neighbor as yourself. We don't see a lot of that right now.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And that maybe that's the measure we ought to start with.
You know, and one of the things I think we as Catholics can really do, you can't force anybody to do this, right? So really the task for us is, just like a parent, you model right behavior. You model the behavior you'd like to see in others. You know, an experience I had this year, 2019 legislative session, came out of a committee. It didn't really go the way I wanted it to. One of the people that didn't vote my way came up to me and said, "Chris, just want to thank you. You are so reasonable." And I just, for me, that was a lesson learned. Like, okay, we might not always get our way, but if we can just model how to be reasonable, how to make our case with civility and respect, for those with whom we're engaging, that's a win in and of itself.
The term we often use, I think, kind of along what you're talking about there, is the church often proposes, it doesn't impose.
That's right.
Right.
The church is interested in truth, not in power.
Yeah.
And so just tell the truth as best we can.
Yeah.
Reasonable. I mean, this has been commented on for, well, literally decades now, but we're in the strange position where it's the church that is upholding the value and dignity and power of the human intellect to actually know the truth. I mean, so much of hyperpartisanship within the church, within politics, really comes down to a lack of confidence that we can actually find the truth,
yeah.
discover the truth with our minds. And the church is saying, no, our human reason, it's fallen, it's not perfect, but it can know the truth of things. So I just, again, there's way too much yelling. There's way too much heat and not enough light.
Yeah. Are we getting to where we've been in 2019? Is this the natural progression of the kind of the relativistic way that our world has progressed?
I think that's one dimension of it. I think the relativism is another manifestation of a lack of confidence in our intellects to know the truth, mm-hmm. the nature of reality.
Which seems ironic because what relativism would ultimately have us say is that I'm the arbiter of it all.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can know it all.
Right.
And yet I can't.
And yet I can't. Yeah.
You know, and I think another just trend, you might say, that's coupled with this radical autonomy of, you know, I'm the arbiter of it, is this ever-advancing technological ability to do before unheard-of things. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in the church, we go to the creation, you know, kind of the beginning of life, the end of life, some of the bioethical questions that come to bear on those two ends of the spectrum, if you will. So it's like, well, technology now gives us the ability to do this. And if I'm the sole arbiter of what ought to be, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Let's just go for it. And I think that's, you know, I know we're still reflecting on the year behind, but I think that's going to be a continuing trend for the future too.
Well, maybe this is a point to make the transition. I mean, we don't really expect, do we, that 2019 is just going to whack off and end, and 2020 is going to be radically different.
Correct.
Do we really think that?
No. I don't think something magical happened the other night at midnight.
No, they didn't wave a wand and now we're different.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the point is what we're talking about from 2019 really does lead us into 2020.
Sure.
Right.
And maybe that's where we start is, okay, so we've kind of identified some of these concerns and some of these issues. What do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do in 2020 to kind of start to address some of that or to keep addressing some of that?
Hmm. Well, as we were kind of just talking about, okay, we're going to do this end of the year, beginning of the year, it's almost like we're doing a bit of an examination of conscience right now, mm-hmm. which can be just such an important personal spiritual practice, but perhaps something powerful too for a family to do together or a parish community to do together. Like, what are those as, you know, the march of progress brings us ever forward? You know, personally, I'll talk about this thing. You know, this little black box.
He's holding up his phone just for those of us listening on radio. Oh,
this is radio, Chris. I mean,
technology has come a long way, but we still don't have images on radio. Sorry. But I like it. I mean, I'm with you on this, so go. Keep going.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, and... you know, there's money to be made out there, not to look at it completely cynically, like we're just, cash cows. But, you know, there's thought, creativity, all sorts of, we're just going to have to continue to grapple with the role of technology in our lives and how it either, helps us experience in certain ways what it is to be fully alive as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, medical technology, just brilliant the way that we can heal.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, I think, are going to need to grapple with ways in which it diminishes or deadens our humanity as well.
Yeah. And plenty of evidence coming out now that with our children, particularly on technology, there's some real concerns about how much this phone, how much this screen time is impacting them.
Right.
That's right.
Definitely.
So we've really got to watch that.
So Jerry, this is a natural time, as you mentioned earlier. We sort of just, New Year's resolutions, right? We decide. But I think to echo Chris's point, maybe to sort of not just to decide, but to decide well, to discern well, frankly, it involves taking stock. And I'm thinking of the quote from Socrates millennia ago, the unexamined life is not worth living. And it's for us not just to maybe look at the scales or whatever else we usually look at when we're trying to come up with New Year's resolutions, but to maybe to look a little bit deeper. Jesus wants us to live life to the full, as Chris says. What am I doing? What am I doing that inhibits his desire for me? What am I doing? What are we doing? As Chris said, family, parish, community. How can we more fully live that abundant, vibrant life that our Lord wants for us? But the only way to do that is to stop and get quiet, which the screens, but also the TV, the radio, and invite the Holy Spirit to give us the strength and courage to look within myself, ourselves, and see, okay, this is where I need to be attentive to this year.
Be still and know that I am God. Mm. We're hardly ever still.
Still, right.
And so if we don't believe in God, we probably shouldn't be surprised.
You know, what's the irony to me, Jerry, with that is more and more over the last several years, and this is just increasing, I think just in the last few weeks, how many podcasts or books I've seen that talk about mindfulness, stillness, meditation. Now, they're usually ordered towards the bottom line, that they'll make your business more profitable or whatever, but there's a deeper human need
for
all of
those things. Yeah, where
does that come
from? Yeah. We know where that comes from.
Yep.
Amen. And who put that in us?
Yep.
We've got, this has gone shockingly fast as we go along this morning, talking to Dr. Chris Bergwald and Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference about the year past and the year ahead. We have to spend a little time now talking about the year past with Bishop Paul J. Swain, who is wrapping up his tenure, and the new year with the coming ordination and installation of Bishop Donald DeGroote.
Yep. So we're just a couple few weeks now, I guess, past the announcement of who the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls will be. I was telling people in the days beforehand, because people would ask, when do you think we're getting a new bishop? And I would often say, I don't think there's anybody more looking forward to that phone call than Bishop Swain. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's a reality, and I think that's true. And yet, just the reality, I think it's important for us to continue to pray for him, because his time as our spiritual shepherd, as our spiritual father for the last 13 years, now is definitely coming to an end in just over a month.
Yeah, but he would tell you it's not coming to an end. It's gonna adjust. Right. And I love his term. He's used this term on his own radio program. He called himself the spiritual grandfather.
Right.
He's moving into a different role, and I love that.
Yeah, so do I. So continue to pray for him, though, in that transition to that new role. But then I think also pray for Bishop-elect at this point still, DeGroote, as he's coming. I just a little bit we've gotten to learn about who the next bishop is going to be. Also, like Bishop Swain and all of our bishops going back, but a man of prayer, but in his own way. And the formation he's received, his experiences as a parish priest, I'm very excited about how he's going to bring his unique gifts to us as a diocese and address the needs and build on the strength that we have.
Chris Motes, looking back to Bishop Swain and ahead to Bishop DeGroote.
You know, I guess Bishop Swain, I feel an immense gratitude. You know, I've worked for him for 2 years now, and he's just, I think I've received from him just a real sense of, I mean, he's just so discerning, you know, just a real lively sense of prudence and wisdom, and just grateful that, you know, 2 years under the belt of the Catholic Conference, I just have a great deal of confidence in the precedents that he's helped set for how the conference operates.
Yeah.
It's been a really wonderful. Looking ahead to the future with Bishop-elect DeGroote, you know, I watched the press conference, then was in a staff meeting, just got to hear a little bit from his own voice. You know, I think he used, between the press conference and then just visiting with a couple staff members, I think he used the phrase interior life at least a half a dozen times.
Yeah.
You know, just that he's got this, it seems, a real focus on an orientation for every one of his soon-to-be sheep unto heaven. And so for me as the politics guy, you know, really focused on like the temporal here and now, I'm really excited about this, because even the politics of the here and now, if it's not in some way like helping us be oriented to our final destination, or even worse, if it's getting in the way, then we've got issues. So just to have that, you know, his priorities right out of the gate, kind of just hear him speak of this interior life, this life of prayer.
Yeah.
I was really excited to hear it.
Yeah, I absolutely heard exactly what you heard too. And I felt kind of the same way. And it's hard for me to imagine anything in 2020 without looking at it now through that filter of Bishop DeGroote.
Right. Yep.
So it's hard to, I can't quite go there yet because I don't know where he's going to go.
Right. Yeah. As we're recording this, February 13th is the installation. So it's still over a month away. Or as you're listening to this, sorry. So the reality that we're all looking forward to, but we really don't know because, I mean, listeners, he went right after the announcement or a day later, he went back to Minnesota and he's finishing out his time as the pastor of St. John the Baptist in Savage, Minnesota. So he's not in Sioux Falls. He's not going to be in Sioux Falls for, well, almost till his ordination.
Right, right. So a lot of question marks about what exactly will happen. But I have great confidence, like you said, Chris Motes, that it's going to be good stuff. That it's really going to lead us to where we need to be led.
Yeah, I think there's a great sense of just hope and providence that, you know, a bishop is, ours is an apostolic faith. I mean, a bishop is a successor to the apostles.
Right.
So that we can just, a great confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit and the road ahead.
All right, any last thoughts? We just have a few seconds left. Anything else you really want to make sure we talk about? Are we good?
We're good.
We're good. All right, I think that's a great place to leave it
great.
With looking ahead. To the installation of our new bishop on February 13th. Dr. Chris Bergwald, Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference, who you now finally have a boss that you know you're going to have for a while, because Rapid City's without a bishop as well.
That's right. So, I'm at 50%, yeah. So I'm still waiting on,
on the other
still
half.
Waiting one out there.
All right. Guys, thanks so much for being with us
you
today.
You
betcha. Thanks, Jerry.
Renee, yes, we're in the new year, but we're more importantly, maybe still in the Christmas season.
Still in Christmas season till the baptism of the Lord.
Okay.
So put your wise men out if you haven't.
If they can arrive now.
Yes, they can.
We've hit the Epiphany. That's great. Hopefully by now people have their new Bishop's Bulletin in their hand, the January edition.
Yep, they should. There's a great story about faith resolutions you can make to boost your spiritual life.
That's a good one. And what else you got going on?
We have hopefully a new Saint blog coming out. If it's not out now, it will be shortly on Saint Augustine.
All right. Lots to look for in the Bishop's Bulletin. Lots going on, of course, as we begin this new year and look forward to the ordination of our new bishop coming up soon as well. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.